Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it has blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about the unity of the faith. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to verse 13. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. "Wherefore," he says, "when he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Verse 9, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Verse 10, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The word faith here in Strong's is number 4102. It comes from another word meaning persuasion, that is credence, moral conviction of religious truth, or the truthfulness of God or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, abstractly constancy in such a profession, by extension the system of religious gospel truth itself, assurance, belief, believe, faith, or fidelity. Those who believe in the truthfulness of God take up their cross daily. They rely on the conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth. John 16 and verse 13. Important lessons are left out in those who have a confidence in the flesh. When Jesus descended and ascended, captivity itself became a place of spiritual learning. He showed the way to overcome death, hell, and the grave by submitting himself to God. Those passing through trials and difficulties that overcome fear and unbelief in their own lives, by faith, become special messengers with testimonies of how faith works well when you do not lean to your own understanding. The fivefold ministry is rare, but still available to help the saints, keeping themselves unspotted and in perfect peace as this world is passing away. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Verse 12. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Verse 13. "For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14. "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The word discern in Strong's is number 1253. It comes from another word which means judicial estimation or discerning or disputation. Jesus started with the same quantity of faith as you did. Faith, however, needs regular exercise. Walking by sight, your faith doesn't get any exercise. Humble circumstances outside Jerusalem provided an exercise of the senses that the new converts needed to discern what pleases God by faith and what calls evil by leaning to your own understanding. Time is running out as God's judgment is on all those in the church and the world that call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. When Jerusalem was about to be razed to the ground in AD 70 by the Romans, the new converts were still complaining. Regular godly wisdom does not come from completing a course on how to hear God in ministry, but by taking up your cross daily. Paul called the Corinthians moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit babes in Christ, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. If you cannot easily ask God the small things and get answers under pressure, you are a spiritual baby too. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and reading verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God knows faith is needed to receive things spiritually. Faith is also used to let go of those things that will hinder you from following Christ. He is speaking all the time, as man is designed to live by hearing and obeying the Spirit, without the need to start thinking about earthly needs. Muscle memory refers to two distinct concepts in the natural realm. Number one, learning to do a complicated set of tasks where thinking would hinder them being done automatically through the brain's development of neural pathways. Number two, where previously trained muscles can regain size and strength faster after a period of inactivity. Faith is a gift to develop both aspects in the spiritual realm. Faith must be directed into Him alone for it to work properly, so that you are not a castaway. Diligently ask God small things and carry out His instructions, as only God knows when something repetitive is ready for the subconscious realm and other activities you neglected are strong again and working by faith. Taking up your cross daily is looking for small opportunities to obey God under a little more pressure, so you are ready for His appearing and do not get left behind spiritually. We read in John chapter 6, verses 60 to 64. This is John's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 61. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Verse 62. "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" Verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Verse 64. "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. Jesus ascending by faith alone was a hard saying for the Jews. The Spirit will quicken thoughts and also your physical body as you obey perfectly. If not, why not? Eternal salvation requires the right response in all areas by faith. We have grace and truth now, so there's no excuse. Looking for a political solution for Israel, Judas Iscariot was not following Christ with his whole heart. All the disciples said, "We will not deny you," Matthew 26, verse 35, but were scattered when Jesus was arrested. Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Rely on the Holy Spirit, not just the principles of the doctrine of Christ. If you want to reach maturity, you can quote the principle, but what if God says to submit in a complicated situation and like it? It is more important that your flesh dies, as it will never submit to God. Romans 8 and verse 8. Dead works that you do without asking God should have been exposed at salvation. Did you repent deeply, or did you listen to a voice that said it's okay to make some decisions yourself with your own mind? Jesus did nothing without first hearing from his Father. John 5:30. The foolish believe that through the flesh they can reach maturity. Galatians 3:1-3. The foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God can be relayed any time when you are ready to do it properly. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13, I'm reading to verse 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Pressure is absolutely necessary for you to have the same obedience and faith as Christ if you're born again. Peter told the new converts scattered in the persecution, living by faith, steadfastly asking God the small things, to grow in grace and gain the knowledge of how Jesus overcame the cross. Those with doubts about learning under pressure, using their minds to come to the truth, are still heading for destruction today. Peter followed at a distance, trying to follow Christ in the flesh, Matthew 26 and verse 58, and denied he knew the Christ three times before the cock crowed, Matthew 26 and verse 74. Peter was in a guilted prison through his own stubbornness when he could have followed Jesus' instructions and asked more questions earlier. He was nearly destroyed through self-condemnation at the hand of the devil. Both Peter and Paul received mercy because they had a confidence in the flesh ignorantly and in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Everyone is on one of three roads today. However, only the narrow way leads to life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The world, however, does not care about what God says until they reap the consequences of sin. But they are on an obviously evil road. Comfortable Christians that do not get on the narrow way are serving sin through a confidence in the flesh. They sear their own consciences and think that they can come to the truth using their carnal natural minds, heading for destruction. John 8 and verse 33. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto their own understanding. Verse 6. In all their ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Joseph Hitchcock defines faith in his books as simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he says he will do. Faith in God alone is what unites the church, not faith in some man-made doctrines. You can say, I trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Be a lazy servant and cast into outer darkness as a result. Matthew 25 and verse 30. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified their flesh with its lust and passions. Galatians 5 and verse 24. Do not be double-minded, as you receive nothing. James chapter 1 verses 6 to 8. You have enough faith to acknowledge God in all your ways, not just a few, if you want to live that way. If you are functioning as Lord of your own life, sin will still reign and you will perish. Quoting a creed so you do not have to acknowledge God in all your ways is self-deception. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 9 and 10. This is in the book of Jeremiah. I'm reading chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You should have already laid up some treasures in heaven unless you're listening to your own heart. You cannot serve two masters for very long. Matthew 6, 20 to 24. Jesus taught that he who seeks will find. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Some will find out very late that they've been listening to their hearts and just get one chance to repent before his appearing. God will resist you, fulfilling the lust of the flesh for a time, but not forever. Through deep repentance, never trust your heart or your feelings. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2, I mean verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For God to do his good pleasure in your life, he needs your permission first. You also need a proper foundation as well. Through conviction, record any thoughts and actions in a notebook. Then need repentance. Instructions on how to work out your salvation using a notebook are given in chapter 2 of the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those born again become a holy temple by the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Using grace and truth, you can have a spiritual education and be controlled by the Spirit in all areas. The Spirit comes in when you're born again, but it is through the fear of God that you depart from iniquity. If you are being used for ignoble purposes, then your life will be like thorns and thistles for others in the body of Christ. By purging yourself of a confidence in the flesh, he can use you for noble purposes. 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 21. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14 and reading verse 23. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. If you've been convicted of sin, it's because in that area you are not trusting God with all your heart. Keep a sin list and don't be lazy. Be strong in the grace, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, and not wise in your own eyes, Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Put on the armor of light so that you will not make the same mistake again as the darkness increases in these last days, Romans 13 and verse 12. In the Good News Bible, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. I sometimes say thinking is a dangerous occupation because we never have all the facts. Those in the church that teach that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it are wicked and lazy servants. What you think you know will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now, and that includes the knowledge of the Son of God. Carnal Christians do not want to believe that Jesus overcame the cross in his humanity without ever using his divine power, but asking and hearing the Father what to do instead, consistently. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. John the Baptist called everyone to make their paths level or flat, Matthew 3 and verse 3. By faith, grace, and truth, now you can turn your mistakes into stepping stones with godly wisdom and humble yourself where you're high-minded. Either you fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you, Matthew 21 and verse 44. By following divine instructions and taking thoughts captive, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, your ways will be flattened or straightened the easy way. If you could straighten your own ways with your mind, then Christ died in vain. The story of Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rachel, is told in Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50. He was rejected and effectively killed by his brothers, sold into slavery and treated like a criminal. But God had other plans through Joseph being in Egypt. He had to pass through some suffering before he could be used. Joseph had an excellent form of communication at the end through the Spirit of God, Genesis chapter 40 and verse 38. James wrote in James chapter 5 verses 16 to 18. This is James chapter 5, I'm reading verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Without trusting God with your whole heart, your ways are still crooked. Whenever you make the decisions based on your reasoning, your faith is weak, shallow, or misdirected. Pressure in humble circumstances can expose these faults or misdirected faith so you can repent before sin manifests. Faults are like cracks in a tall building that appear because the foundation was not properly laid the first time. Under the new covenant, the prayers of saints who are following Christ and making no excuses and confessing their faults to others are effectual and righteous. Healing also comes through not judging and confessing your faults if you're following Christ. We read in the Psalms, chapter 42, I'm reading verses 1 to 7. This is in the Psalms, chapter 42, starting in verse 1. To the chief musician, Machiel, for the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy days. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy watersprouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. The psalmist saw his soul was not rejoicing at the point where the waves were so high. They're going over the top of him. However, God spoke to him clearly. Verse 7. Because under pressure, by keeping the commands of the Lord, he still had a right attitude to God and motive of love. Jesus taught that pearls of wisdom were to be given to those who are qualified. Matthew 7 and verse 6. As the revelation will be lost or stolen otherwise. To gain a knowledge of the Son of God, yoke yourself to Christ. Use the peace of God and the joy of the Lord in complicated situations, and you will serve God and man acceptably. Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. Your strength has to come from pleasing the Lord in complicated situations and doing what he says by faith consistently. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If you think you are standing firm, then you are in danger of falling, because there is always another level. God doesn't have any graduates. God's ways of doing things are higher, because man's ways through the flesh are all corrupt. If you keep listening to the flesh and waiting for others to change first, you'll not be ready for his appearing yourself. Everyone else does not have to conform to your perfect vision of a church. You need to invest in your ability to hear God under pressure and pursue the right things if you always want to have ears to hear the truth. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. True shepherds use the gift of eternal life. Hear, trust, and obey with a ready mind. To receive a crown of glory in complicated situations, you need to prefer others above yourself. Elders are like a pincushion or a dartboard for those serving two masters in the body of Christ. Elders know there's a cost for following Christ and have to communicate this in love. Peter called himself an elder because he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Jesus was speaking in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, I'm reading verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fails not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus had to pray for Peter's faith not to fail. Through conviction and deep repentance, all the disciples remembered Jesus' instructions. Jesus was able to manifest himself in the upper room by the Spirit in human form because the disciples believed. But Thomas was not there the first time, as he had doubts. John 20, verses 19 to 30. The disciples only had about 10 days to confess their faults one to another and get ready for the kingdom coming on the day of Pentecost. The 11 all had a similar manifestation of the Spirit being poured out because they were in one mind and one accord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. This is Acts chapter 1. I'm reading verse 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." Verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now everyone can experience the Heavenly Father by not leaning to their own understanding and hearing and obeying the Spirit instead. The disciples were witnesses, not just out witnessing on the street. To be a witness of what God is doing, you need more power to follow instructions consistently under pressure. The cross helped the disciples realize that they had a confidence in the flesh. God's power is available for the unexpected, for those trusting God with all their hearts by submitting to God's plan. You will not get that same power from following evangelistic methods of preaching or teaching. Peter continued in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Verse 11, "To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." Positions in his kingdom are for those who have first humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Some ask, how long is the due season before they are exalted? The length of the due season is based on what type of education you have. It can be endless if you're carnally minded. The glory that belongs to God will not be shared with anyone. God's own Son, however, received eternal glory by serving God all the way to the cross and not sinning. Those who endure for the sake of following Christ have salvation with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. You can trust him with all your heart by steadfastly acknowledging God under pressure when the devil roars. Your humility or brokenness is your strength. Paul boasted in the fact that he never knew what to do in complicated situations. And because of that, his power abided on him. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. That lesson has been passed on to every generation, but those with a confidence in the flesh do not have ears to hear. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In front of all his disciples, Jesus submitted to Mary at the wedding of Cana. John 2, verses 1 to 11. You will never gain the true knowledge of the Son of God unless you completely stop listening to your own opinions, feelings, and emotions. You have to do everything without complaining, grumbling, thinking, judging, or blaming anyone else for your own actions or your apathy. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Jesus taught in John 10 and verse 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Jesus is willing to hold your hand as you learn to rejoice in humble circumstances. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Relying on grace, mercy, and the peace of God, you can repent and let him make all the final decisions. Those born again that do what they want when they want in their personal lives have rejected Christ in their hearts. Jesus has every right to be Lord of your own life through creation and redemption. The Father would not be wrong if he cast you into hell based on what he knows about you and the decisions you make for the sake of your flesh. If Jesus is your shepherd, he knows you in terms of your ability to obey the Spirit and will speak to the Father on your behalf as an advocate. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Ephesians 4 and 13 says, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and verse 6. You can find everything you need in Christ. Only in Christ can you have more fun when everything is going wrong than most people can when everything is going smoothly or going right. The body of Christ, with the true knowledge of the Son of God, does not look like they are baptized in lemon juice by serving two masters. Jesus continued in John 10 and verse 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus could submit to God's plan and trust God with all his heart because he knew him. Even though he knew from the scriptures that he had to die for sinners on the cross, he was not reacting or crying out for justice, but endured for the joy set before him. He functions as the Son of Man by growing in the grace and the knowledge over a period of time when he was on the earth. Luke 2 and verse 52. He also functioned as the Son of God by communicating and obeying his Father in heaven through the Holy Spirit in all areas and never sinned. You can do the same by walking by faith. Christianity is not just another religion. Eternal life starts now. It's a gift. Jesus paid for you to get to know the Father and Jesus whom he sent. John 17:3. Jesus taught in Matthew 7:22-23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You can't get to know God using your mind, because if that was possible, Christ died in vain. Do not be lazy or comfortable if you're born again, and let God provide his answers for your calling and purpose on this earth. To maintain an amazing relationship with a living God, you have to fight to not think about your own needs and use the gift of eternal life instead. His ways are higher. Isaiah 55:8-9. Repent of dead and vain religious works that you do in the name of Jesus, as others will follow your bad example, and you will have to give an account. As the pressure of following Christ increases in these last days, those with just a diet of shallow messages are already departing from the faith. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7:22-23 says this, I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons, our super spiritual projects had everyone talking. And do you know that I'm going to say, you missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Paul could only see dimly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. But he also believed it was possible to be known by Christ in terms of obedience to the Spirit. Those with the confidence in the flesh deceive themselves that they can still come to maturity without accepting the functional lordship of Jesus Christ in all areas. Leaders with just an academic understanding or only hear God in one or two areas like ministry are vain or empty. James wrote this in James 2:18-20. This is James 2. I'm reading verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But what will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The devils fear the judgment. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord now, you will be working out your salvation in fear and trembling. What can you do now consistently under pressure will be used to determine your position in all eternity. God's kingdom will be run by the meek, not by the educated. Matthew 5:5. Those with a shallow relationship refer to the Bible as a manual, but have no ability to hear God instantly or clearly themselves. Those with a mature faith have learned through diligence to obey the Holy Spirit perfectly under pressure, with the peace of God and the witness of the Spirit, not just the written word. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 2:15. This is 2 Timothy 2. I'm reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was brought up on the Holy Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:15, but told by Paul that he had not studied the word of truth. Do not study doctrine that and what is easy for your mind to understand, but the word that makes your flesh uncomfortable or nervous. Do not come to truth after being convicted. You have to resist the Holy Spirit and the process of true repentance. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightfully handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. God's in charge of your education. Knowledge on its own puffs up, but love always edifies. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. You will not come to a mature faith without some testing by trial. No one is qualified to study the written word without the leading of the Holy Spirit, but anyone can study the word of truth. Workers in his kingdom, approved by trial, can share and teach what they have tasted and handled in the word of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With meekness and lowliness of mind, in complicated situations, you will eventually arrive at the true knowledge of the Son of God. Empty yourself of all your opinions and ideas. You have been given everything you need to reach a high level by faith, just like Christ. Jesus emptied himself of all his divine power and relied on the Holy Spirit. He then died to help those who want to do what is right, pursuing godliness with the Holy Spirit he gave them. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Ephesians 4, 1-2 says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service, living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness and mildness, with patience, forbearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Through Ephesus suddenly becoming a prosperous port city, the church was losing their first love, Revelation 2 and verse 4. The Jews sent to heathen nations through the persecution, by looking and thinking about what they had lost following Christ, were losing their saltiness. You will not be able to talk about fellowship and commune with God either if you cannot rejoice always. Paul was still preaching the truth and working out his calling in prison. Paul did not believe that the gospel was bound by chains. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9. If he was killed and not put in prison, he may not have written so many letters. God is in complete control, and you will have the peace of God by doing the perfect will of God despite your personal circumstances. To walk worthy of your calling, you need to just keep asking God what to do. If the gospel was based on knowledge, there would be no unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus was speaking in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Those who've studied the Bible know the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God already here on earth. The kingdom of God is here by the Spirit to support those seeking and pursuing righteousness. It provides peace and joy so that your hearts will not be troubled. John 14 and verse 1. In complicated situations. Romans 14 and verse 17. Those that want to enter the kingdom of heaven now have to become like a little child. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 to 7. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses starting in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There should be no difference in how your faith works in any situation. If my faith works better than yours, it's only because I'm denying myself and taking up my cross daily. The holy angels are working twice as hard since one third of them left. There is not one Holy Spirit for heaven and one for the earth. The devil convinced one third of the angels that they could decide for themselves and did not need to follow God's plan exactly by getting his instructions. We received the Holy Spirit at salvation so that we could function like the holy angels and save ourselves. Man was created a little lower than the angels. But you can be a friend of God as well, since you have been made in the image of God. You need to wake up to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. And stop being a friend of the world that says you can do what you want when you want. The angels following the devil will be cast into the lake of fire at the end. And God doesn't have two standards. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 21 says, knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. Christianity is not just another religion, but a serious relationship with the living God. Those in heaven and on earth, faithful to the truth, are holy, busy getting his instructions for their life and making no excuses. Jesus will fill all of heaven as the King of Kings with everything he rules over. Everything that does not submit to him will be destroyed. When everyone is doing what he says by the Spirit perfectly, he will hand the kingdom back to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, how did you get the knowledge of the Son of God you have? Give three examples. Number two, has the unity of the faith helped you understand and not judge those around you that are pressing towards the mark? Number three, have you been studying the word of truth or just gaining more and more Bible knowledge instead? And if so, why? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path The broad road that leads to destruction looks good, is signposted to heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about the unity of the faith. Your life has to go down first before God can use you to pass through the same baptism of fire that Christ passed through on this earth. You will have to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Without a life of faith, you cannot please God. You can't come to him with works of faith as a substitute. Your faith needs regular exercise so that you can make big steps and small steps too. Fear God, and things can be added his way all the time, consistently. And you will come to a complete man. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 7. Let me pray with you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for those who've listened and you have spoken to them through this message. My prayer is that they will be not just hearers of your word, but doers also. That they will examine themselves to see if they really be in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.